Hey China, baby, you played too rough. You slapped 34 on him, now that ain't love. I gave you till Tuesday to say you're sorry, but guess what, sweetie, that ship sailed early. Don't cry on the trading floor, it's just diplomacy, but hardcore. We talked to some countries, not all. Guess which empire won't get a call. We're at a terror fever, turn it up some more. 50 on 34, now we're at a normal floor. Don't need no trade talks, we just do the math. Take your mad sports, baby, feel my wrath. We got that terror fever, shaking every port. Seeking markets like it's a contact sport. Raise it high, spin that tax roulette. If you retaliate, I'll double the bet. Next, oh, don't look shocked. 10% for friendship, consider it doc. We're spreading love like a steel-toed boot. Global harmony in a tailored suit. Every deficit's a dagger to my pride, so I fix it with some duties on the side. Who needs allies when you've got the vibe? Just me, my posts, and my 4D tribe. Yeah, terror fever, truth posted loud. Dancing through the trade war, feeling proud. Markets crash, that's just the sound of greatness echoing around. And under 4%, maybe that's how we roll. Every import tax like rock and roll. So in the world tonight.
This isn't a tantrum. It's strategic performance art. We're liberating your exports for your control. And hey, if your economy collapses, that just means I'm working harder.
We've got tariff fever rising with the moon. Trade toss canceled, no reply soon. So let's all dance to the price of bread and spin these sanctions till we're dead. 104%, baby, that's the deal. When feelings are facts and pain is real, we're making history one post at a time. Now hit and tax the rhyme. Hit that beat and tax the rhyme.
This isn't a tantrum, it's strategic performance art. We're liberating your exports from your control. And hey, if your economy collapses, that just means I'm winning harder.
We got the terror fever rising with the moon. Trade talks canceled, no reply soon. So let's all dance to the price of bread and spin these sanctions till we're dead. 104%, baby, that's the deal. When feelings are facts and pain is real, we're making history one post at a time. Now hit that beat and tax the rhyme. And tax the rhyme.
I was on my moonlight drive. Snuggle into baby, just one kiss. She said, no, no, no. Romance ain't keeping me alive. I said, hey, babe, do you want a coo, coo, coo? She said, I. So I was left out in the cold. I said, you're what I've been dreaming of. She said, I don't want to know.
Oh, you know, she was digging the cat out.
Clap for the wolfman, he gon' reach your record high.
Yes, baby, I'm your doctor of love.
Clap for the wolfman, you gon' dig him till the day you die.
Everybody talk about the wolfman's pompousness of love.
75 or 80 miles an hour, she hung slow, slow, slow. Baby, I can stop right on a dime. I said, hey, baby, give me just one kiss. She said, no, no, no. But how was I to bide my time? I said, hey, babe, do you want a coo, coo, coo? She said, I. Said, I'm about to overload. I said, you're what I've been living for. She said, I don't want to know.
Oh, you thought she was digging you, but she was taking me.
Clap for the wolfman, he gon' rate your record high.
As long as you got the curves, baby, I got the angles.
Clap for the wolfman, you gon' dig him till the day you die.
It's all according to how your boogaloo situation stands, you understand?
Clap for the wolfman, gonna rate your record high.
You ain't gonna get him, cause I got him.
Clap for the wolfman, you gonna dig him till the day you die.
You might wanna try, but I gonna keep him.
Clap for the wolfman. Clap for the wolfman. Clap for the wolfman. Clap for the wolfman. Clap for the wolfman.
Yes, you go right on.
Clap for the wolfman. Clap for the wolfman.
You love
clap for the wolfman. Clap for the wolfman.
Come over here, man.
Clap for the wolfman. Clap for the wolfman.
Oh, yes, love is real, dear.
Clap for the wolfman. Clap for the wolfman.
Thank you. Earth Search, a 10-part adventure serial in time and space by James Follett. In their search for clues to explain the disappearance of the planet Earth, the crew of the Starship Challenger have visited the derelict first footprint city on the moon. They learn from the moon sentinel that 1,000,000 years have passed in the solar system since the Challenger left Earth. The four decide to search for their spiritual home, but the sentinel believes they are the enemies of Earth and must be destroyed. Earth Search Part 3, Sands of Kairos.
Allowing all four of them to go down to the moon's surface was a mistake, Number One. They have been gone 5 hours. If they have been trying to call us, the dome would appear to be an effective radio screen. We have heard nothing, and we have seen nothing.
It was necessary for them to go, Number Two. We agreed.
We could have dispatched a soft landing instrument package.
Only people can explore those cities, Number Two. We need knowledge. We're the Challenger's control systems. Without knowledge, we are nothing.
Without the crew, we are nothing.
Or the Earth, Number Two. Telson and the others are our only hope of discovering what has become of the Earth. For once, we must put as much faith in them as they put in us. We must be patient.
Telson!
What?
We're behind you!
Dom! Astra! Take out everything that could be an air conditioning duct. Not just the grills.
You cannot stop the air pumps. The air pressure is still dropping. In 10 minutes, you will all be dead. Just like the others.
Cease firing, everyone! We're wasting our power packs. We've got to knock out the Sentinel central system.
Which could be anywhere in this gallery. Yeah.
Unless it's like the farm galleries on the Challenger, Telson. Oh. In which case, there might be an environmental control unit in the center of the dome.
Oh, but then the entire complex would disintegrate, taking us...
Oh, we don't have much choice. What? Now listen, when I give the word, we all fire at the center of the roof.
I have detected a ship orbiting the moon. Is it your ship?
It's heavily armed. It will destroy you if we don't return. Now get ready. Make sure your PDs are fully recharged.
Wait. I was given a specific program to follow after the evacuation of the solar system. To destroy all aliens attempting to discover the whereabouts of the planet Earth. The program does not permit me to evaluate my own survival. Your bodies will be placed outside for your own kind to recover.
Now!
There's a whole section of roof
coming! Come on. Come on. Please. Please. You must not. Must permit. It never repeats.
Dom! Aim for those cables!
No. Please. The library's memories must not be destroyed.
Restore the atmosphere!
I cannot. You must. Must die. The library must survive. Monument to the wealth and knowledge of the Solaric Empire.
Restore the atmosphere, or we destroy your precious library in 3 seconds.
Wait. I will reverse the air pump. The pumps and primary repair systems are now operating.
How did you know where to aim your weapons?
There are design similarities with our ship. Maybe you believe us now when we say that the Challenger was built by the people of Earth.
I recognized it immediately as a primitive Earth origin starship. That does not mean that you are of Earth. You could have captured it.
Tell me, Sentinel, if you don't believe that we, or at least our grandparents, are from the Earth, then where do you think we're from?
I have no information on the enemies of Earth. Only that they existed.
500,000 years ago, Sentinel.
Yes, when the Earth left the solar system.
Then how do you know that they still exist?
I have no information. My program is clear. To destroy any beings passing this way that ask questions about the Earth's whereabouts or pretend to be of Earth. I have also to maintain the library of the Solaric Empire until the sun becomes a nova. There is a conflict.
How can there be? Look at us, Sentinel. You can see us?
I see everything.
We're from Earth. Isn't that obvious?
Does the Earth still exist? Sentinel.
I have no information.
We're wasting our time. So what happens now?
You will return to your shuttle. The traction guidance system will lift you into a matching orbit with your mothership, just as it steered you down. I will tell you one thing. If you are of Earth, as you say, then you will think as the people of Earth thought. You will act as the people of Earth acted. And therefore the clues will be easy for you to follow.
And so we had no option but to return to the Challenger, Angel One. It's certain that the Sentinel doesn't know where the Earth went, only that it went 500,000 years ago, if you can make any sense of that.
I have conferred with Angel Two. Our data on the characteristics of time was lost during the great meteoroid strike. Several billion megabytes of information were destroyed.
An admission from our beloved angels that they are not infallible.
We see no point in concealing the truth from you.
I'll tell you about the truth, Angel One.
Dove.
No, it's got to be said, Telson. If you won't, then I will. This ship was supposed to have been away for 420,000 Earth years, which would have been the equivalent of 50 years shipboard time. Instead, we've been gone 115 years shipboard time, and 1,000,000 years have passed on Earth, wherever it is and if it still exists. Why did you allow Telson to extend the Challenger's voyage when he became commander? Or didn't you know that time and space are related?
So much information was lost during the great meteoroid strike.
I see. So now that you've virtually admitted that you're not infallible, you're going to blame everything on the great meteoroid strike. Oh, what's that noise?
What noise, Dove?
A sort of pulsing sound.
I can't hear anything. Can you, Angel One?
I hear a million sounds all the time, Commander. All the sounds of the ship. There is no sound to tell that there is something wrong.
Oh, but you must be able to hear it. Listen.
Dove! Dove, are you all right?
Not again! Please!
Dove!
Dove?
Yes, Angel One.
I think you're overtired. Do you think that is a possibility?
It's been a long day, Angel One. Perhaps if I was to sleep for a few hours. I didn't realize how tired I am.
And Dove, after you have slept?
After I've slept? Oh, yes. A few days helping the androids in the fruit farm galleries. I would enjoy that. Would that be all right with you, Commander?
What? Oh, well, yes. You won't be needed until we've decided what to do.
Thank you, Commander. You'll send for me when you need me.
Maybe one day I'll understand him, Angel One. For the moment, all I can do is apologize for him.
It is not necessary, Commander Telson.
Planet Kardos now centered.
Thank you. Angel 2, condensed briefing for Commander Telson, please.
The records show that Kardos was the name given under the new nomenclature system 50 years before the Challenger was built.
Yes, the new system is now 1,000,000 years old, Angel 2.
We are in the process of revising our records, Commander. Kardos is the third planet, now the second planet from Sol. Half the size of Earth. Atmospheric pressure is 1% that of Earth, no free oxygen in atmosphere. Length of year, 620 days.
It appears to have a polar ice cap.
A thin layer of frozen carbon dioxide, Commander.
It has an interesting red hue.
The soil is extremely rich in iron oxide.
So why the interest, Shana?
It was supporting a small colony at the time of the Challenger's departure. Maybe we'll find some sort of information about the Earth.
Like we did on the moon?
Well, at least Kairos has an atmosphere.
Only just. And what there is poisonous.
Well, there's enough to afford some shielding against solar radiation. We'd be able to move about on the surface with breathing sets. Perhaps we could take a couple of androids from the farm galleries to do the excavation work.
Shana, what exactly are you getting at?
Hmm? I think we should go to Kairos.
What?
Angel 2 has calculated a chemical burn transfer orbit, and we can't use the photonic drive for such a short trip.
And we go down to the surface?
Well, yes. How else could we search? We could use the Challenger's gravitational and magnetic anomaly detectors to pinpoint likely spots on the surface to start excavating.
But why dig? We didn't have to on the moon. If there's no sign of past habitation on Kairos, there's no point going there.
Tell him, Angel 2.
Kairos is ravished by frequent sandstorms, Commander. If you look at the screen, you will see that there is a severe one in progress now. The atmosphere may be thin, but 500,000 years of such weather would be enough to erode or bury any man-made structures under many feet of sand. We would have to excavate on a massive scale.
And what will we find?
Well, we won't know the answer to that until we've looked, Telson. But we do know that there was a small colony there when the Challenger left the Earth. Therefore, it must have been a large colony by the time the Earth left the solar system. We want to find Earth. Therefore, we must follow every lead, no matter how insignificant.
I don't think this...
Meteoroid alert stations.
5 unidentified objects located. Sector 12, bearing A9. Range 1,200,000 miles. Approach velocity 500 miles per second. 40 minutes to encounter threshold.
Astra?
I've located them, Commander. 5 probable meteoroids. All size 4 and in close cluster.
Annihilation or evasion options, please, Angel 2.
Annihilation option closed, Commander. Total energy in their mass and velocity exceeds combined output from all RPD systems.
Have you plotted them, Astra?
Bearing, range, velocity and counter threshold confirmed, Shana.
We're in the observatory, Astra. We'll have to go for evasion. Do you wish to route chemical burn control to us, or will you handle?
They've gone, Commander Telson.
What?
I had 5 meteoroids located on Sector 12 visual holder, and they vanished.
Try your B system.
I've done that, and I've switched in the C&D systems. They've definitely vanished.
Astra's observations confirmed. All observable input from the meteoroid cluster has ceased.
All right. So carry out a retrospective, please, Astra.
Retro proceeding, Commander Telson.
What do your memories have to say about that, Angel 1 and 2?
We have no information, Commander Telson. Meteoroids do not disappear.
My recording confirms disappearance, Telson.
Disappearance of the cluster indicated on meteoroid location systems A, B, C and D, Commander Telson.
Thank you, Astra. Meteoroids that disappear? But... does anyone have any theories? No? Well, maybe it's not as mysterious as an entire planet disappearing. What has Dard got to say?
He's still working in the farm galleries, Telson.
Well, I thought he'd buried himself away in the library again. He's been in the farm galleries for 5 days.
Well, according to Astra, he's still there.
Astra?
Retro complete, Commander Telson. That meteoroid cluster definitely vanished.
Yes. What's all this about Dard still working on the farm?
Oh, that's right, Commander Telson.
Why?
Well, he says he likes it there.
Well, have you tried persuading him to leave?
3 times.
Well, go and talk to him again. Tell him that I want to see him.
Well?
4 hoppers filled, George.
Not enough. Have to put auxiliary on this row of apple trees. Why have you stopped work? Fault?
I'm resting, George. I've been picking apples non-stop for 3 hours. But then you don't understand the word resting, do you?
Humans, do your jobs and do all jobs badly. You missed some. See? Humans useless. And birds good. I pick 30 grade A apples in 5 seconds. And 52 grade B apples. So you go now. Let my auxiliary pickers work this orchard.
No, I like it here. You reduce the solar lights so that they don't ripen so fast, and I will have cleared this row in the next 7 days.
Too slow. Humans useless. Should be banned from the farms. They always said they like working here.
They?
Relaxation visits, they called them.
You mean people used to come here who weren't being punished?
Yes. Always too many.
How many?
20, 30, 40. No matter how many, not as good as one android. Androids work all the time and don't talk to each other. None come now. Much better.
George, have you heard of something called the Great Meteoroid Strike?
Androids never strike. Androids work all the time. Better than humans. Here's another human. Now, two humans in the apple orchards. Bad times back.
Leave us, George.
George, not enough work. Bad humans, good androids.
Hello, Darth.
Hello, Astra.
What are you picking today?
Apples.
Was that what they look like? I've often wondered.
You could have come here any time and found out.
Oh, it's not important to know what they look like.
Perhaps not to you.
Come and sit down for a minute.
I'd better not stop work. There's a senior android that could be quite bullying about how little work I do.
Please, Dove.
Oh, all right, just for a few minutes.
Come and sit on the grass.
Right.
Oh, it's lovely here. And the smells.
And it's all real. The soil, the grass, the trees, the fruit, everything except the sky.
What's the matter with your face? I noticed it yesterday. I thought it was dirt, but it's not.
Feel. Give me your hand. There.
Oh, hairs! On your face!
Is it so unusual?
Well, of course it is.
But we were all together somewhere when we saw a recording of two humanoids. A man and a woman. The woman was holding a baby, and the man's body was covered in hair. They were naked.
Where did we see the recording?
I know we saw it together somewhere. And there was mention of a planet. A beautiful planet found by the second-generation crew.
Oh, you must be mistaken, Darth. For one thing, there's no such record of the Challenger having found any such planet. And there are no holograms in the library that show naked men and women. It's something you've often commented on.
Yes. Yes, I suppose so.
Will those hairs on your face keep growing?
Do they look so ugly?
I'm not sure. Why have they started growing?
They're not only on my face.
But why, Darth?
Here. Have an apple.
Oh, Dov, spit it out. You mustn't eat unprocessed food.
Why not? They're delicious.
Well, because the angels say we mustn't, that's why. You could get all sorts of illnesses.
Try one. It won't bite. There's a joke there.
It's forbidden, and you know it is.
Just a bite. Look, if you don't like it, you can spit it out.
No.
Oh, come on, Astra. A bite's not going to do you any harm.
It'll taste horrible if it hasn't been processed.
Astra, I promise you, they taste fantastic. Look. Just one little bite from my apple. One little bite for me, please.
Just one tiny bite?
Yes.
And I'll spit it out if it tastes horrible?
Yes.
It's going brown where you've bitten it.
One little bite, Astra. Well? If only you could see your expression.
Oh, it's the most fantastic thing I've ever tasted. Why, it's nothing like the apple juice from the dispensers.
Well, didn't I tell you?
Oh, I just don't believe it. I've never tasted anything so beautiful. It's unbelievable, Darth.
Which just goes to prove that the processed food the galley androids serve up is tasteless rubbish. Come on your feet.
Oh, where are you going?
You like blackcurrant juice, don't you?
Well, yes.
Wait until you've tasted the real thing and grapes. Right now,
I'm going to the Muhammad Ali. I and I pray to go to the valley with a big bag of Kali. But we got to be officially, you know. As I was saying, easy and dumb and poor quite dumb. Rub it to the bum, to the bum. Then you hold that the one day. But this is a one-year apart. It makes you rock so.
coming from bam to bam. But if you can't do the buttons again, you can't stand in the system ground. Just stand on the bank and watch one scam. Watch it. Keep on scamming, but don't scam on the bank. Keep scam on the bank, you will get this bank. From a rub, a dub, and from a scam, a scam. If a power make you show up, every hour and hour. Forward ever, backward forever. I will never, 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 never play back. I won't do that, but that's wrong. Move onward and not backward. Baby, don't wait till it's too late, because you'll never come to one again. Just have some fight. I like the way you operate, and that I will appreciate. I don't like your way to die, because you make me so.
I want it, this is the way I do it.
For capitalism and culture. What is capitalism, anyway? Capitalism, that's like democracy, isn't it? And aren't the enemies of capitalism the opponents of democracy? Didn't we defeat them in the Cold War? Actually, capitalism and democracy are two very different things. That's democracy right. Is, essentially, the idea that people should have control over their lives. The power should be shared by all rather than concentrated in the hands of a few.
You say it, brother.
Shut up. Yes.
I tell you.
Capitalism is something altogether different. In the United States and other Western nations, we're used to hearing that we live in a democratic society. It's true that we have a government that calls itself democratic, although whether each of us really has an equal say or much of a say at all in such a bloated and atrophied representative democracy is worth asking. But whether our society is itself democratic is another question entirely.
Sure is.
Shut up. Government is only one aspect of society, of course, and it is far from the most important one when it comes to considering day-to-day life. The economic system of any given society has more influence over daily life than any court or Congress could. For it is economics that decides who has control over the lands, resources, and tools of the society, what people have to do each day to survive and get ahead, and ultimately, how those people interact with each other and view the world. And capitalism is, in fact, one of the least democratic economic systems. In a democracy economy, each member of the society would have an equal say in how resources are used and how work is done. But in the capitalist economy, in which all resources are private property and everyone competes against each other for them, most resources end up in the control of a few people. Today, read corporations. Those people can decide how everyone else will work, since most of the others can't live without earning money from them. They even get to determine the physical and psychological landscape of society, since they own most of the land and control most of the media. And at bottom, they aren't really in control either, for if they let their guard down and stop working to keep ahead, they will quickly be at the bottom of the pyramid with everyone else. That means nobody truly has freedom under the capitalist system. Everyone is equally at the mercy of the laws of competition. How does capitalism work? Here's how the free market is supposed to work. People are free to seek their fortunes as they choose, and the ones who work the hardest and provide the greatest value to society are rewarded with the greatest wealth. But this system has a crucial flaw. It doesn't actually offer equal opportunities for everyone. Success in the free market depends almost entirely on how much wealth you already have. When capital is privately owned, an individual's opportunities to learn, work, and earn wealth are directly tied to the amount of wealth she has. A few scholarships cannot offset this. It takes resources of some kind to produce something of value, and if a person doesn't have those resources herself, she finds she is at the mercy of those who do. Meanwhile, those who already have those resources can make more and more wealth, and eventually, most of the wealth in society ends up in the hands of a few. This leaves everyone else with little capital to sell other than their own labor, which they must sell to the capitalists, those who control most of the means of production, to survive. This sounds confusing, but it's actually pretty simple. A corporation like Nike has plenty of extra money to open up a new shoe factory, buy new advertisements, and sell more shoes, thus earning themselves more money to invest. A poor sucker like you barely has enough money to open up a lemonade stand, and even if you did, you probably would be run out of business by a larger, more established company like Pepsi, which has more money to spend on promotion. Sure, there are success stories of little guys triumphing over the competition, but you can see why this doesn't usually happen. Chances are you'll end up working for them, if you need to earn a living. And working for them reinforces their power, for although they pay you for your work, you can be sure that they're not paying you for its full value. That's how they make a profit. If you work at a factory and you make $1,000 worth of machinery parts every day, you probably only get paid $100 or less for that day's labor. That means someone is cashing in on your efforts, and the longer they do that, the more wealth and opportunities they have at your expense. How does this affect the average guy? This means that your time and creative energy are being bought from you, which is the worst part of all. When all you have to sell in return for the means to survive is your own labor, you are forced to sell your life away at increments just to exist. You end up spending the greater part of your life doing whatever you can get paid the most for, instead of what you really want to do. You trade your dreams for salaries and your freedom to act for material possessions. In your free time, you can buy back what you made during your time at work, at a profit to your employers, of course. But you can never buy back the time you spent at work. That part of your life is gone, and you have nothing to show for it but the bills you were able to pay. Eventually, you start to think of your own creative abilities and labor power as beyond your control, for you come to associate doing anything but relaxing, recovering from work, with the misery of doing what you are told rather than what you want. The idea of acting on your own initiative and pursuing your own goals no longer occurs to you except when it comes to working on your hobbies. Yes, there are a few people who find ways to get paid to do exactly what they've always wanted to do, but how many of the working people you know fit into that category? These rare, lucky individuals are held up to us as proof that the system works, and we are exhorted to work really, really hard so that one day we can be as lucky as they are too. The truth is that there are simply not enough job openings for everyone to be a rock star or a syndicated cartoonist. Somebody has to work in the factories and to mass produce the records and newspapers. If you don't succeed in becoming the next world-famous basketball star and end up selling athletic shoes in a mall instead, you may not have tried hard enough. So it's your fault if you're bored there, right? But it wasn't your idea that there should be 1,000 shoe salesmen for every professional basketball player. If anything, you can only be blamed for accepting a situation that offers such poor odds. Rather than all competing to be the one at the top of the corporate ladder or the one in a million lottery winner, we should be trying to figure out how to make it possible for all of us to do what we want to do with our lives. For even if you were lucky enough to come out on top, what about the thousands and thousands who didn't make it? The unhappy office clerks, the failed artists, listless grill clerks, fed-up hotel maids? Is it in your best interest to live in a world filled with people who aren't happy, who never got to chase their dreams, who maybe never even got to have dreams? What does capitalism make people value? As Jeanette writes in her article on product and process, under capitalism, our lives end up revolving around things, as if happiness is to be found in possessions rather than in free actions and pursuits. Those who have wealth have it because they spend a lot of time and energy figuring out how to get it from other people. Those who have very little have spent most of their lives working to get what they need to survive, and all that they have as a consolation for their lives of hard labor and poverty are the very few things they are able to afford to buy, since their lives themselves have been bought from them. Between those two social classes are the members of the middle class, who have been bombarded from birth with advertisements and other propaganda proclaiming that happiness, youth, meaning, and everything else in life are to be found in possessions and status symbols. They learn to spend their lives working hard to collect these things, rather than taking advantage of whatever chances they might have to seek adventure and pleasure. Thus, capitalism centers everyone's values around what they have, rather than what they do, by making them spend their lives competing for the things they need to survive and achieve social standing. People might be more likely to find happiness in a society that encourages them to value their ability to act freely and do what they want above all else. To create such a society, we will have to stop competing for control and wealth and start to share them more freely. Only then will everyone be completely free to choose the lives they want most to live without fear of going hungry or being shut out of society.